Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Katie Britton. In her debut novel, Mad Apple, Christina Meldrum brings us into a world completely off the grid. Her characters, Mother Marin and daughter Oslog, live off the land, using local wild plants as their only means of medicine and food. They have no contact to the outside world, and they rely completely on each other. But then their world is turned upside down. Oslog is thrown into a modern-day society she knows nothing about and must search for the answers to her mother's deepest secrets.
Well, Marin and Oslog live in a very isolated way. Although it's modern times, they essentially live off the land, so they know a tremendous amount about herbology and botany, and they use plants for almost everything in their lives. In addition, they are very isolated, so the windows of their home are covered. Oslog is homeschooled, but she's taught mostly mythology and religion and language, in addition to botany. She's not taught very much about the modern world.
What made you decide to have your characters live off the grid like this?
Because of the story that I wanted to create, I knew that they would need to be isolated. I knew that they would essentially need to sort of be a unit together and be utterly dependent on one another and on the natural world. And so because I needed that for my plot, it sort of necessitated having them in that kind of situation. When I initially started writing the story, I hadn't intended to have the herbology and the botany play as big a role in the story as it ended up playing, but I became very fascinated myself with herbology and botany as I was writing the story, and so it took on a bigger and bigger role in the story. So that part of it wasn't initially part of my plot and my plan, but it ended up being a very big part of it.
Each chapter is named after a different plant, so what is your interest in the botany then?
Well, when I started writing Mad Apple, I was really interested more in sort of the mythologies. I was a comparative religion major in undergrad, and I was really fascinated by the mythologies that exist in the world that in some ways seem to kind of parallel the Christ story. And I thought that was really fascinating. And so I thought that I would like to create a story that sort of explored that. So that was the initial seed for the story. I knew based on what I wanted to do with the story that they would need to be isolated. So although I didn't have a background in botany, I started to study it because I realized it would be very important to them. And in a sense, it would be the way that they viewed the world. It would be the lens through which they interpreted their world, particularly Oslog, because she was so isolated and she was so dependent on her mother and on the world that her mother sort of created for her. So I knew that for her, she would sort of see the world through plants. And so I started to do research myself and became very, very interested and was just really so blown away by the versatility that is available in nature.
So what is a mad apple?
A mad apple is an alternative name for the plant Jimson weed. Many plants have many common names. So they'll have their scientific name, sort of the Latin name, and then they'll have various common names. And one of the common names for the plant Jimson weed is Jimson weed, but another name is mad apple. So it has names like thorn apple and angel's trumpet and devil's apple.
And it also has a separate meaning, also the title, that we find out later in the book.
Exactly.
Going back to Marin and Oslog, Oslog doesn't go anywhere or do anything without her mother. They are almost literally joined at the hip.
Right.
But that changes when Oslog wakes up one morning.
Right. And she finds that her mother is no longer alive. And so suddenly her world is just shattered because her entire world was essentially created by her mother, because it was defined by her mother what she was allowed to do and see and read and eat. And suddenly her mother is gone. So this is sort of where the mystery in the story takes off.
And in between the chapters, there's a court hearing going on, and Oslog is the one on trial.
And it's somewhat, I think, in the beginning, it's not entirely clear what she's on trial for. And that unfolds slowly. It is somewhat related to the death of her mother, and it's also related later, the reader will find out, to some other deaths that occur in the story.
What ends up happening is Oslog is still a minor in the eyes of the courts, and even though she's been living this one-on-one life with her mother, her whole world is completely turned upside down, and so she has to join essentially the real world. So for someone who's led such a sheltered life, Aslaug is really good at reading people and good at deducing. It just seems to be her social awkwardness that's a problem.
I think what I was hoping to create in the relationship with her mother was a deep relationship. It is a difficult relationship, but they are very close. And I think she has gained some very important things from that relationship with her mother, including her ability to actually read people. The relationship with her mother is a very, very complicated relationship that she has to figure out how to negotiate as a young child. And she does figure that out. And I think that it gives her tools with which to go forward in life so that in terms of her interactions with other people, although she's very socially awkward, she has an understanding of people and in some ways an understanding of the part of people that we tend to hide because she sort of is living with that on a daily basis. She's living with sort of a darkness that she has to try to figure out even as a child.
Maren has kept everything from her daughter, and after her death, Aslaug finds Maren's family, and they aren't living very far away, are they?
No, they're living very close, and it's very confusing to Aslaug to realize that she actually has family that actually live very close, and it's very hard for her to understand why her mother would have kept her from this family. She ends up finding that out over the course of the story.
Now, besides the story of the careful balance of relationships, Mad Apple has the ongoing question between science and religion of believers and non-believers and those who want to believe.
Right.
I think Aslaug's cousin Suzanne is a perfect example of this.
Yes, I think Santa is the person who is searching. And I think most of the characters in this book in their own way are searching. And I think actually people are searching. I think that it's something that sort of is universal, that we are all searching for meaning. And so I was hoping with each of these characters in the book to sort of show what they needed, what they wanted, what they were searching for. And Santa is searching. She's trying to understand. She wants there to be meaning in life. She's trying to find that meaning. It becomes fairly ugly at times where she sort of takes that desire to find meaning. I think in some ways she is a very sympathetic character in the sense that she, too, is sort of broken, and she, too, is looking for some sort of solace.
When Aslaug comes to live with her mother's family, it's a puzzle that Aslaug and Suzanne are working on in the depths of the church where her aunt works and lives.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on there?
There's confusion about Aslaug's birth, and Aslaug was told by her mother that she had no father. When she arrives at the church, she is told two things. One, the identity of her father, and then an opposing theory that she is actually the product of a virgin birth. And so she then starts having to try to figure out which of these stories has any validity, if either of them do. And of course, the virgin birth story, as someone who's grown up, although learning about religion, she's very much a mesh to the natural world, seems at some level ridiculous to her. And so it's very hard for her to believe that in any sense. But on the other hand, she's struggling with the story she's told about the identity of her father. And so there's a puzzle, as you said, there's a puzzle that sort of is there. And she and Santa are sort of working back and forth, trying to put together the pieces of this puzzle. And then, of course, the ground keeps shifting. And new pieces of the puzzle keep getting added.
And also, she starts thinking that, well, maybe there are similarities between me and Jesus, and the rest of the family start to believe as well.
Right, exactly. Which, for Aslaug in particular, it's a very big leap for her to go there, because it is something that is in many ways against her nature. She's very tuned in to the way the natural world works, and so for there to be sort of just some miraculous birth, it very much goes against her grain, but she is thrown into such an extraordinary situation that she begins to even question her own very deeply held beliefs about the world.
Well, the name of the book is Mad Apple. Christina Meldrum, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very, very much for having me.
Again, the name of Christina Meldrum's book is Mad Apple. It is published by Knopf. For the Roundtable, I'm Katie Britton. The sun never sets again. These flowers.